In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Over the past several weeks, we've spent our adult forum time pondering the problem of evil and suffering in the world, and how a good and all-powerful God allows bad things to happen. We've wended our way through the Bible, which has different viewpoints depending upon whether you're reading the book of Job or the Psalms or the New Testament. We've heard about the views of ancient theologians like St. Augustine and Irenaeus, modern theologians like Karl Barth or James Cone or Rosemary Ruther, and most recently, we've looked at a group of theologians who say that we're asking the wrong question. They say that we cannot possibly know the will of God, so all that matters is how we respond to suffering. All we can do is recognize when something isn't right and do what we can to change it. This idea of you're asking the wrong question has great potency as we listen to today's gospel and hear the story of Mary bathing Jesus' feet with some very pricey scented oil. A pound of that oil, called nard or spikenard, was worth an average person's wages for a full year. This got the attention of Judas Iscariot. Judas was a practical man, and because he was a practical man who stayed on top of details, he had been given control of the task of keeping track of the money that the little band of Jesus and his disciples shared. Of course, he skimmed a little of that money off the top. This was, in fact, the way that people made money in those days, people who had responsibilities for keeping track of money, even if it wasn't the way that Jesus taught. So Judas thought to himself, that oil cost a lot of money, 300 denarii at least, and I could have had a little of it if she had just donated the money instead to Jesus' cause, rather than wasting it in that extravagant gesture. So Judas threw a little hissy fit and complained. And he asked a question. Why did she waste the money on this nard? A question. But in Jesus' mind, it was the wrong question. It was an utterly extravagant gesture, that oil poured on Jesus' feet, and then Mary wiped the excess off, not with a towel like we'd expect, but with her own hair. Talk about extravagance on top of extravagance. A more practical, pragmatic person would look at that and say precisely what Judas implied. What a waste. But Jesus saw it differently. That oil, the gentle caress of Mary's hair, of course it was extravagant, but it was also a needful thing, a preliminary anointing of his body for the grave. He knew that although Mary might not realize it, she was actually preparing his earthly body for what was to come. And this was not an extravagance, but in fact a necessity. In those days before embalming, dead bodies were prepared by washing and anointing, and then packing them with fragrant herbs and spices. Otherwise, even in the short time between death and burial, the odors of decomposition would be troublesome. And so this first step of preparing his body made sense to Jesus, even if it didn't to Judas. Extravagance might not necessarily be a bad thing, but it requires us to shift our minds from one question to another. The first question, why not save the money for a more appropriate use, is tied to the kind of consumer economy that values things in terms of commerce, where things gain value by being hoarded. The alternate question, how can we give it away extravagantly in a way that multiplies its value, is tied to a very different kind of economy, a gift economy, where things gain value by being circulated and by being shared. If you've done any reading on Native American traditions, you will recall the concept of the potlatch, which is a great big feast where people try to outdo each other in the extravagance of what they give to one another, and in doing so, develop deep and lasting relationships. This notion of a gift economy is the thesis of a philosopher who wrote about it in the 1980s, a fellow by the name of Lewis Hyde. He talked about how we have been seduced by the model of the market economy. In a market economy, one can hoard one's goods without losing wealth. And indeed, wealth is increased by hoarding, although we call it savings. And we think that it's a good thing to do, right? In contrast, in a gift economy, wealth is decreased by hoarding, for it is the circulation of the gift within the community that leads to increase. Increase in connections, increase in relational strength with one another. Now, I know that this feels very counterintuitive to us. We're daily bombarded by advertisements saying that we need to gather our resources in, not give them away. It's the whole model that Groupons and daily deals are built on. We save by getting these special deals and we hoard them. We decide when we're going to use our Groupon to go to this restaurant or to this beauty parlor or whatever. But you turn it around to this gift economy, and it's precisely what Jesus was thinking about when he chastised Judas for his comments about Mary's oil. It was the alternate question. How do we multiply the value of something by giving it away? How do we give extravagantly so that the value of what we give is multiplied by the relationships that it sparks, by the love that is shared? If we think about the moments that have felt most precious and full of love in our lives, I suspect that we'll realize that they're marked by some sort of extravagant giving. Now, I'm not talking about extravagance in terms of dollars and cents, although sometimes it means that. I'm thinking, for example, of the person who donated a kidney to a perfect stranger in need. In fact, there's a website, no surprise, there's a website for everything, but there's a website called matchingdonors.org. And people who need a kidney transplant can post on it, describing themselves and their situation, in the hope that someone will respond positively. And remarkably, people have received this gift of life from donors whom they do not know. That's an extravagant gift. A woman I know has ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a horrific disease which slowly impairs you more and more neurologically so that you cannot walk, you cannot talk, you cannot even swallow. But your brain is still sharp as a tack. It is an evil, difficult disease. She's in her 40s, and she has school-aged children. She's writing letters to them, one per year, for their father to give them on their birthdays each year, because she will not be there to share those birthdays. Sometimes it's something exceedingly small, a widow's mite, if you will, that is the extravagant gift. At a time when my life was in flux and I didn't know what would come next, my daughter wrote me a long letter telling me how my support and encouragement had helped her go through times of challenges. In the world's economy, that letter was valueless. But to me, in my gift economy, it was priceless. Gift economy is about grace and the things that build relationships. That letter was infinitely valuable because it told me about the nature of my relationship with her as mother and daughter in ways that I might not have otherwise realized. My friend's letter to her children maintain a relationship that will extend beyond her passing. The kidney from a stranger is not merely about extending someone's life. It's about giving them the ability to live into existing and new relationships. And here's the thing, there's a multiplier effect. It pays back the giver in remarkable ways. On that matching donor site, there was a quotation from a gentleman who had donated a kidney to a perfect stranger. And he said, "Since my kidney donation, I feel richer than Donald Trump and Bill Gates combined." He felt blessed that he would be able to help another person live. My friend with ALS said, "I'm so grateful that the kids will remember me through these letters. It's a little bit easier to let them go if I know that I will still connect with them in this way." And that letter from my daughter, it helped me through a tough time. And it is always in my memory when she needs some kind of help or emotional support, or if someone else needs that same kind of help or emotional support. Extravagant generosity, that hallmark of the gift economy, multiplies. It does not divide. And it should not surprise us that Jesus prefers it to Judas's snide remark about the cost of that sweetly scented oil. After all, it is Jesus' extravagant generosity, his willingness to give rather than to hoard, that will be remembered next week when we read the story of his passion and death, when he gives his very life for our benefit. His very life. It was worth more than a flask full of nard, wouldn't you say? That same life that Judas wedded to the market economy, sold for a mere 30 pieces of silver. So what do you say is the right question? Why did she waste the money on a flask of scented oil? Or how can we give everything, even our lives, so that our generosity will multiply joy and faith and grace? Amen.